Letters from Nigeria from the Sisters of Great Bend, Kansas. Ordinary farm girls who lived extraordinary lives in Africa.
Dear sisters, greetings from Nigeria. We have a saying here, you never know how your day will end.
The village was very primitive. The people wore no clothes, or only a few leaves in front and back.
Can you imagine the excitement? Go faster, sister! There's a plane coming from the side!
We had very sick babies on the veranda all night.
In the last episode of Letters from Nigeria.
There you two are. Aggie, Margaret, this is my niece. Sisters Agnes and Margaret are two of the original three sisters to go to Nigeria in 1956.
You should look at our display room, don't you think, Aggie? It will give her some history.
I took some time to respectfully take it all in, then tiptoed out of the sisters' display room and headed down to the library to reread their letters and return to 1956 with sisters Dominica, Agnes, and Margaret as they embarked on their Nigerian adventure. Episode 4, Ready or Not, Here We Come.
Oh, there you are.
Sister Agnes, hi.
I didn't see you in the display room, so I thought you'd be here in the library.
I love this room. Isn't it wonderful?
It is a peaceful place. I see that you're reading the letters.
Yep, I'm reading about your first voyage to Nigeria on the African Patriot. It was a cargo ship, right?
Yes, it was. The crew was told ahead of time that they would have sisters on board and to watch their language if we were on deck. We could see them always looking around for us.
Seems that you three sisters made a lot of friends.
We sure did. At the end, the crew even wrote us a goodbye letter. They were very good to us. Felt like we were on a luxury cruise.
With a lot of stops. I counted 10 in all, from Liberia down to Angola and then back up the coast to Nigeria. That's a lot of ocean to cover.
Really? It didn't seem that long at the time. But I do recall there was a lot of loading and unloading of cargo.
Well, it took the African Patriot about a month to reach Nigeria.
Did it? Well, imagine that.
Atlantic Ocean, African Patriot, August 5th, 1956. Dear sisters, all aboard! We're out on the great ocean blue. For 5 whole days, we've had very smooth sailing, averaging about 15 knots an hour. Sunday was the best day. The ocean was an indescribable azure blue with long waves that stretched out into the horizon. There was hardly any white water, so the waves seemed almost immovable, like we were looking at a painting instead of the sea. Perhaps 'twas the calm before the storm, because the next 4 days we were rocking and rolling with large waves and strong winds. Just before the storm got really intense, we braved a walk up on the deck.
Sister Agnes, what are you doing?
Wave walking. You shorten or lengthen your stride with the sway of the ship.
Right, Margaret?
It's like a waltz step. See?
And then you also have to breathe advantageously. Inhale when the ship goes up.
And exhale when it goes down.
Oh, Lord, please help me. Leave the wave walking to Jesus. I'm going back to the room and make more rosaries. It's freezing out here.
We must tell you about one of our favorite crewmen. He's an American Negro over 6 feet tall and probably 350 pounds. We love to watch him check the ship for cleanliness, especially when he runs his huge fingers daintily across the railings to find any dust that might have been missed. Everyone on the ship has been just wonderful. For the Feast of St. Dominic, an unknown Catholic benefactor sent us quite an assortment of candy. And the captain let us view one of the Cape Verde Islands on the ship's radar screen. The island was only 4 miles away, but it was so dark that you couldn't see it with the human eye. We must say that we have seldom received such respect as on the African Patriot, especially Sister Dominica. One elderly sailor goes out of his way to greet her with, "Good morning, Mother Superior." He told us that he'd brushed up on his religion. We don't know where he got his information, but can you just imagine the after effects when we reach our staterooms? The ship's main officer is a good Muslim and has been very helpful to us. He said he believes in being kind to those who walk in the way of God. When checking our papers as we boarded, he asked for Sister Dominica's last name and the spelling. Sister Agnes gave it, and don't you know, he looked her straight in the eye and asked, "Is she a Muslim?" Sister Agnes answered in the negative, and he replied, "Well, she has a real Muslim name." Oh, what fun we've had with that information. Sister Dominica is certainly heading for the right area of Nigeria. We also have to tell you about Charles, who's our steward. He's been extremely good to us.
Sisters, you in there? I need to clean your room.
Hello, Charles. Come in.
Good morning, Sister Margaret and Sister Agnes.
You were just here yesterday.
That's right. And I'm going to be here every day to clean your room and give you fresh water and fruit.
Such luxury, don't you think, Aggie?
You'd think we're on the Queen Mary.
The African Patriot. She's no cruise ship, but we try to make her comfortable.
We feel like the Rockefellers.
I think that we should at least mop our own floors.
No, don't you do that, Sister Margaret. I'll be out of a job. Now, once a week, I'll be changing the sheets, and every other day I'll be collecting your laundry.
Could we at least iron our clothes?
I can get you an ironing board.
We must mention the ship's food. What menus they serve! We even had steak one night. The stewards fill our plates as if we were the hardest working seamen on the ship. This is especially true of the Polish steward who's been working on ships for nearly 20 years. Evidently, we appear frail to him. But oh my, for our religious decorum, we take our meals in a saloon, and one day we were invited to the captain's stateroom for drinks. Now, don't get excited. This saloon is a neat little dining room, like a restaurant, and the drinks were only Cokes, a treat in honor of the Liberians who were celebrating their Independence Day. Most of the few passengers on the ship are going to Liberia, which is our first stop. Two of the Liberians are policemen. One is a Catholic. Their favorite pastime seems to be playing checkers. Believe it or not, they can play for hours, sometimes from noon till 6 in the evening. We always enjoy hearing their banter and laughter. One Sunday, we were invited to the church service conducted by a minister who's a missionary in Liberia. Our friend, Mr. Jasser, who's in charge of the water system in Monrovia, came around to invite us. We declined graciously, but were amused at the curiosity as to whether we would go or not. He and the chief of police like to tease the Catholic policemen about not eating meat on Fridays. Mr. Jasser says that he himself is a staunch Mohammedan, but we know that he's joking. When we see him eat pork, we very much would like to remind him that pork isn't on a Mohammedan diet. He told us that he'd been traveling the seas since 1928 and that this is the first time that he's had smooth sailing through this part of the ocean. We can't help thinking that we've become the ship's good luck charms. Several of the crewmen have asked us for rosaries or medals, but we know that there's still a great distance to go. The African Patriot is sailing down to Angola and then back up the West African coast to Lagos. If we sail long enough, we'll probably be eligible for seamen papers or something. At Sea, African Patriot, August 12, 1956. Dear Sisters, Africa, Africa, here we are! At last we got the chance to actually set foot on African soil. It was during our two-day stay in Monrovia. The night before we docked, Mr. Sampson, the Monrovian chief of police, stood on deck for 4 hours watching for what he says is the most beautiful spot in the world to appear in the distance. When we arrived the next morning, Mr. Sampson's family and the entire police force were waiting at the dock. They were very eager to greet Mr. Sampson, but when the officials checked for yellow fever cards, his was down in baggage, packed away. Consequently, our entire ship was quarantined until a doctor came to give Mr. Sampson another shot. We sisters kept quiet, but all morning poor Mr. Sampson became the good-natured butt of everyone's jokes, especially from his greeting party who teased him from the dock. Looking out at Monrovia from the African Patriots deck, we saw huts rimming a main road. Everyone seemed to be going someplace in a hum. One Liberian climbed up a wobbly ladder and onto our ship with 2 cases of Coca-Cola on his head. Imagine the strength he must have had in his neck! Almost immediately after docking, the ship's Liberian crew started in on the African Patriot, chipping off old paint in preparation for repainting the deck. They'll stay on board from now on to load and unload cargo at various ports. When the African Patriot is docked, the Liberians like to camp out in tents on the deck. Their wage is 50 cents a day, which they say is super. Ordinarily, Liberians are quite satisfied with $7 to $10 a month, and these men will make around $12. They get overtime, too. At the end of our first day of sightseeing, we got to sit on the beach and listen to the magnificent roaring of the ocean waves. It was another new experience of which there have been many these past few weeks. Oh, and God bless Mr. Rossi, a good Catholic. He's the cargo line agent who made it possible for us to go to Mass and Communion in Monrovia. On our second day, he had Mars, his driver, stop off at his house for what we now call our African tea with his Brooklyn wife.
Hello, sisters. Come in, please.
This is so kind of you, Mrs. Rossi. I am Sister Dominica, and this is Sister Agnes and Sister Margaret.
So glad to have you. Come in and sit down. Osmana! We're ready for the tea! Over here. Thank you. You can go, Osmana. Well, shall I pour?
Thank you, Mrs. Rossi.
Cream and sugar?
I'll have 2 spoons of sugar. Sister Agnes will have 1.5. And Sister Margaret will have 1.
Oh, okay. Not a problem, sister. Oh, Osmana forgot the cookies. Osmana! Excuse me, sisters.
What's wrong with the tea?
It's salt. She gave us salt instead of sugar.
It's probably the way they drink it over here.
Even the Americans?
Hush. If she can do it, so can we.
But I don't think Mrs. Rossi put anything in her teacup.
Shh, here she comes.
Ah, here we are, sisters. Cookie?
Thank you.
Cookie?
Thank you.
And cookie for you, Sister Dominica.
Thank you. Mmm, very tasty.
More tea?
No, thank you.
So, how are you enjoying your journey?
Oh, we just love it. The crew has been so nice to us, and the food is wonderful on the ship, and Charles cleans our room every...
Thank you, Sister Mary Margaret. Charles is our steward.
Oh, how nice. Sister, would you please pass the sugar? Thank you. Well, it must have been a long trip for you, sisters. Mmm. Oh, God! What the hell? Oh, that's not supposed to taste like that.
It's the salt, I think.
We thought that it was African tea.
African what? No, someone put salt in the sugar bowl. Osmana! Osmana! Ah, forget it. Well, sisters, you are a carton of good eggs. I think you're going to do just fine in Africa.
Just like you, Mrs. Rossi. Let us then raise our teacups to African tea.
To African tea.
Here, here. To African tea. Osmana!
Matadi, Belgian Congo, August 18, 1956. Dear Sisters, we've enjoyed 5 clear days of sailing from Liberia to the Belgian Congo. Last Friday evening at 10 p.m., we crossed the equator and the temperature was not just cool, it was cold. Believe it or not, it's winter here. Every day and evening, Sister Dominica sits on the deck wrapped in a big blanket. We're actually glad for the chilly air, as we know that the summer heat is ahead of us in Nigeria. On Sunday, Sister Margaret thought that she saw a whale out of her porthole. She did see something in the distance, but was informed by the second mate that it was a floating island of mud and brush from the Congo River. Our ocean cruise soon turned into a river trip 80 miles and 6 hours up the Congo River to the town of Matadi, where we're now staying for the night. Ambrosete, Angola, August 20th, 1956. Dear Sisters, we're anchored 2 miles offshore from the town of Ambrosete in the shallow waters of the South Atlantic. The African Patriot stopped here to unload 175 tons of coffee beans. Getting the tender to shore was quite an operation. Because the water's so shallow, the captain had to use barges. We watched on deck as the Liberians waded to and from the barges with 125-pound sacks on their heads. It took 3 days to load 3 barges. On the first night that we anchored, 2 crewmen decided to walk to Ambrosete.
Yeah, Sister Dominica, we went to Ambrosete last night.
Yes, sister, we sure did.
How did you do that? The ship can't even make it to shore.
We rode a dinghy to the beach and walked the rest of the way. Piece of cake.
Yeah, and on the road to town, we had a close call with a cobra and saw a herd of rhinoceros. Did you know they like to chase humans just for the fun of it?
There's nothing to be afraid of. Animals run away from people.
Where'd you hear that?
National Geographic.
Sister, for my sake, please don't ever walk in the grass in Nigeria. You never know when a snake will be there.
Lobito, Angola, August 22, 1956. Dear Sisters, we're in the port of Lobito. The captain says that it's where the world's largest quantity of uranium is shipped. It comes from the mines in the neighboring Belgian Congo. While in port, we attended Mass at a mission run by 2 Dutch fathers. Lobito is a town rich with beautiful Portuguese architecture, but the father's church is very poor. It has a cement floor, no doors, and 8 pews in front. The fathers have plans for a new church, but alas, no money. On our way back to the ship, the father's car stalled right in the middle of town. They had to push it down the street with us in the back seat in stitches. We looked so silly. The locals were laughing too. Finally, one of the fathers said, "Oh, just let them laugh." But honestly, we don't know how he could have stopped anyone from laughing. Back on the ship, we met Chang, the magician, who's toured the whole world with his shows. Although he's 65 years old, he's very sharp and a good Catholic. On Sunday evening, he put on a brief show with his wife, Shirley, on the deck of the African Patriot. We're still very curious about how Chang took 8 round clocks out of a box in which he had just put 2 square ones, and how Chang could peel an orange and find an egg inside, crack the egg and find a walnut inside, and crack the walnut and find a $5 bill that a man had just given him. It was almost just as fun to watch the Liberian crew's reactions to the magic tricks. When the show was over, they all agreed that it was too much juju. On Tuesday, the Dutch fathers took us to the town of Benguela, which is as far south as we'll go in Africa. It's about 30 kilometers from Lobito. As we traveled along the blacktop road, we saw hundreds of palm and coconut trees and acres of sugarcane, a most gorgeous sight. In some of the fields, the natives were cutting the sugar cane by hand and putting it into large bundles.
There was so much sugarcane that, personally, we didn't think that they'd ever finish.
Luanda, Angola, August 31st, 1956. Dear sisters, today the ship's carpenter presented us with a miniature replica of the African Patriot that he'd made on the way over. He said that since we've been sailors for so long, we deserve our own ship. The African Patriot is in Luanda to load 2,000 tons of manganese ore and 3,000 tons of coffee beans. We've been in port for 9 days because the Liberians have to shovel the ore by hand, and the Portuguese like to take their own sweet time to accomplish anything. This we understand to be, quote, unquote, African style. Of course, since the African Patriot is run by a Catholic company, you can imagine how everyone is concerned. But in the end, all they can do is bow their heads and say, fiat, and so must we. Throughout our trip, we visited convents, but in Angola, we got to stay in one. It happened quite by accident. We thought that we had asked our cab driver to take us to a Catholic church, but instead, he must have mistaken us for the local sisters and dropped us off at a convent.
Thank you, driver. Wait a minute. This doesn't look like a church to me. Wait! Stop! Stop! What is wrong with that driver? I told him to go to a Catholic church, not a convent. Well, as long as we are here, we may as well go in.
Looks like the door's locked, Sister Dominica.
I can see that, Sister Agnes. Someone must be around. Sister Margaret, give it a good knock.
Okay, Sister Dominica. Oh!
Bonjour. Comment puis-je vous aider, les sœurs?
Please excuse us, sister. Do you speak English?
Oui. Come inside, sisters.
The sister who opened the door turned out to be the prioress and the only one who spoke English. We very much wished that we could have talked with all the sisters, as they were so kind and gracious. The convent had about 20 native sisters and 17 whites, mostly French. They all dressed alike, except the native sisters each wore colored stockings of red, blue, white, or brown. We didn't get the chance to ask if the colors meant something, but it was wonderful to kneel silently in their chapel, attend three masses, and hear the sisters chant the little office. At the end of the day, the Reverend Mother invited us to stay the night, our first snooze on African soil. We think that it was most fitting that we slept in a manger.
Here's where you sleep, sisters.
Thank you, Mother, for everything. We are so grateful.
And we are so happy to have had your company today. Your blankets are over there. Bonne nuit.
Good night.
Good night.
Bonne nuit. This is just like my family's barn. I love sleeping on a bed of straw. And I am pooped.
Hey, Aggie. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head.
Oh, I know. How about, see him lying on a bed of straw, a draughty stable with an open door, Mary cradling the babe she bore.
Oh, just go to sleep, you two. Sister Margaret, give me that blanket. You know, this is pretty comfortable.
There's nothing like sleeping on straw.
Douala, Cameroon, September 4th, 1956. Dear sisters, Cameroon is our last stop, and then Nigeria.
Unfortunately, we can't say the same about one of the crewmen who had the misfortune of being left behind at our last port. The captain waited about an hour for his return, but had to set sail because of the tide. No one knows what happened to him, but the crew says that he'll probably fly to Takoradi, that's a city in Gold Coast, to meet the African Patriot there. No doubt he had had a very queer feeling when he returned to port and discovered that the ship had gone. We're praying for his safe return. Lagos, Nigeria, September 6, 1956. Dear sisters, we have finally reached the port of Lagos and the end of our journey at sea. We thank God for all of His blessings. Curiously, it was only at the end of our voyage when we found out what a sensation we had created. The chief steward told us of the crew's discussions about us. We were amused to hear that some of them had to muster up the courage to tell us the things that we should have known to do on the ship. The night before docking, we received a letter from the crewman. It read thus.
On behalf of the deck department, we wish to say that we've enjoyed having the sisters as shipmates. Your presence has been most highly appreciated. Seeing your smiling faces each day has made this voyage enjoyable. We join in wishing the sisters health, happiness, and success during their stay in Africa. Respectfully yours, Van, Lee, Godfrey, Bosun, and crew.
Was this not thoughtful of them? The crewmen told us that they were shy of us at first, but now they say it won't be hard to talk with sisters in the future. The captain and officers surprised us with a beautifully decorated good luck cake made by the chief cook. We shared it with them, and oh, how everyone did enjoy it! We learned that the officers have also changed many of their erroneous ideas about sisters. While enjoying the going-away cake, they all declared that they would be very happy to take us back to the States whenever we're ready to return. In the end, we were very happy that Monsignor Hawkins, who's in charge of the Northern Nigerian missions, did not take us off the African Patriot at our first stop in Monrovia. All of our African travels have been such a first-hand education. We learned more about Africa from our 4 weeks on the African Patriot than we could have learned in 4 years. Observing the customs of other countries ruled by other nations was most enlightening. We're looking forward to tomorrow when we'll be setting foot on Nigerian terra firma and starting our inland journey home to Gusau. God bless you and Mary keep you. Your missionaries to Africa, Sister Dominica, Sister Agnes, and Sister Margaret.